We're going to look at the phrase. If you go back to verse number 11, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible says, "He hath made everything beautiful in his time." Now, we've just came off of looking at the previous eight verses where there it talks about a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. And a lot of these, if you would just, you know, you think a lot of these things from the onset of it, you would look at some of these and think, how can that be beautiful? How can that be a good thing? And, you know, there's a lot of things in life we don't understand. You know, how can that be something that's good? We look at our personal lives and we are, at least I am, I'll speak, I try to be very transparent. I'm a very selfish person, if that makes sense, because everything, we get so involved in what's going on in our lives. And we don't many times think about, you know, the person that lives just down the road from you. And, you know, they have a whole life themselves, and their whole life may be falling apart, and is usually, you know, there's always somebody that's worse off than you are. Always. And I sometimes drive through places and you don't have to be very far away. You can drive an hour away, and sometimes I look at a community. I went to Dinky's on Friday night, and I was driving down there, and it's not very far away, but down in the Washington, Montgomery, Odin area, and you think about, you know, they live their lives, and that's their community. And they don't ever think about Jasonville, you know, and we live our lives and in your community, whether it's Jasonville, Linton, or wherever you're from, and you live your life and you never really think about everybody else. You know, it's all about what's happening today. What's my schedule today? What am I doing today? And I think that's very natural. We all do that. I don't think it's an unnatural, you know, most people don't go around and just wonder what, you know, so-and-so's doing, you know, all around us. But we are very selfish people sometimes. And when we see this in the Bible where it says, you know, a time to be born, well, we're excited about the birth of things. But then we, many times, well, God, it's not fair. You took somebody from me. Well, that's part of life. You know, as soon as you are born, you start the process of eventually dying. And that's just a process. And you think, well, how can that be beautiful, though? How can that be beautiful? You know, we're all looking forward to spring. At least I am. I'm looking forward to being done with the brown of winter. And you've got spring coming. And I'm looking forward to the new life that Mitch, that it's represented. It's not that the life's not there. It's just you don't see it. But I'm looking forward to that new life that's coming and the new life that's going to be there. But, you know, I think one of the prettiest times of year is in the fall. And you think about that. You know, what is so pretty about fall? The death of those leaves. You know, because for a leaf to be beautiful, it has to die. And it has to, you know, it's most beautiful in its final moments. And you think, well, that doesn't make sense. But, you know, God has made, the Bible says God has made everything beautiful in his time. Now, that's very important. Because if it's in our time, it doesn't make sense a lot of times. The death of a loved one, the death of a family member, the death or the sickness that sometimes comes or the ailments that come and like, well, God, this isn't fair. Divisions in our families, different things like that. God, why did you do that? I don't know. But I have to trust that in his time, he'll make all things beautiful. So we're going to look at this thought here of beautiful in his time. And I hope I can be a blessing because I don't know what everyone in here is going through. Some of you I know fairly well, and I know that you go through things day to day. Every day of your life sometimes is a struggle. Depression or physical things or just family issue, it can be a struggle. But I want us to remember, I talked about a few weeks ago, is it either a my view, how I view it, or is it how God views it? Now, if it's something I've done because I've been stupid, you know, I kind of have to pay the consequences of that. But sometimes there's just things in life we just shake our, you know, why, God? Why did you do this? Well, I don't know. But God said he's made everything beautiful in his time. A time of war? Yeah, a time of war. I just got done reading a book about, it was a famous POW camp that was the Army Rangers had gone in and freed I think there was 500 POWs in this camp, and it was behind enemy lines because they were afraid that the Japanese were going to come in and massacre all these people. And some of the atrocities that were committed, you think, how can that be a beautiful thing? Well, for one thing, you have to realize the depravity of sin and where sin takes people. But you know what? I'm thankful for the men that were willing to sacrifice their lives so that, honestly, folks, that we can sit here today and have the freedoms that we have today. You know, God took something that was terrible and has made something beautiful in the United States of America. All right? Now, they didn't understand that at that time. And we don't understand at times. I think of families in our churches that, you know, have gone through some terrible medical things. I'm like, why? But you look at the grace of God and how the grace of God has come, and God has made that family stronger through that time of hardship. All right, so we're going to look at some things this morning. The first thing I want to point out, that when God does something, there's a purpose, there's a plan. I want you to go back to Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. And I'm just going to read a couple statements here. You know, this is the very beginning when God was creating everything. Genesis chapter 1, we're just going to look at a couple of these. If you look at Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 10, the Bible says, "And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was," what? "Good." God saw that it was good. All right, and there's several places. If you'll look at verse number 12, "And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good." God saw that it was good. Well, yeah, Brother Chad, that's easy because that's, you know, the beginning of creation. There is no sin here yet. Okay, I understand. But God created something, and God saw that it was good. And when I have to look at my life sometimes, like, God, did you put this situation in my life? And if so, what's good about this situation? Sometimes you really scratch your head for a while. I don't see anything. I don't see anything here. But God has made everything beautiful in his time. Go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter number 22. David said something very interesting. 2 Samuel chapter 22. This is a psalm of David. It's actually found in, its parallel could be found in Psalms chapter 18. You can go to Psalms chapter 18, and it's basically the same portion of scripture. But in Psalm chapter number 22, if you look at verse number 1, the Bible says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me." If you look at this first part of this, you think about all the stuff that David has just gone through. All right? Look at verse number 1. "Out of the hand of my enemies." Verse number 5, he says, "My Savior, thou savest me from violence." Verse number 4, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Verse 5, when the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Verse 6, the sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. All right? Not what we would call, you know, a real glorious testimony here. Okay? Well, you know, why did David have to go through all that? All right? I want you to go down to verse number 30. Look at verse number 30. Bible says, for by thee, talking about God, I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, and I want you to notice this next phrase, the Bible says, his way is perfect. His way is perfect. Well, God, I don't understand why I have these enemies. I don't understand why I have this trial in my life. I don't understand why this, you know, the divorce, the things that ravage a family. I don't understand why these things are happening. Brother Chad, I don't understand why I have this health right now that I do. Okay? Why do I have this health? Why can't I just, you know, some people get to the place, you know, God, I just want to go to heaven. All right? That's a very real place that you can get to in life, is where, you know, it's just not, you know, life doesn't have the quality it used to. But God, why am I still here? All right? I don't know. But the Bible says his way is perfect. The Bible also says in Ecclesiastes, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Remember, God's time frame is not our time frame. Okay? God doesn't do things according to my schedule. he doesn't. So we have to understand that. Verse 32, for who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Why did God send David through all the things that he did? You know, the enemies and the waves of death and the floods of ungodly men, the sorrows of hell. I don't know. But did you notice that God, when God sent him into those things, God also gave him the strength to leap over the wall. And God also gave him the ability to teach his hands to war. And God gave him the ability to do these things in those moments of trials. In those moments of trials. And we're going to get to this. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Probably most of you knew I was headed there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. You know, honestly, I'm standing up here and I'm saying all this. Most of you have heard all of this before. But it's a lot easier, I'm just telling you, it's a lot easier for me to stand up here and talk about all this than it is to go into your day-to-day life and apply this. It is. I'm just saying, Brother Chad, you make it sound so easy. Yeah, it's easy to talk about. It's hard to live. It's hard to live because our minds always question why. Why, God? Why is this happening? You know, why did I lose my job? Why? Everything like that. I don't know. But God said he has made everything beautiful in his time. You know, God has made my way perfect. All right? I don't know. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Look at verse number 8. The Apostle Paul is speaking here. The Bible says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He's talking about his thorn in the flesh that he had. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. The Apostle Paul said, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God's grace, let me just say this, God's grace is perfect in his time. God's grace is perfect. Where God asks you to go through something, God will always give you the grace to go through it. Always. Sometimes you get to the very edge and you kind of wonder. But his grace is always there for us. What is grace? Unmerited favor. I don't deserve the grace of God. I don't deserve the favor of God. But God gives that to us. God's strength is beautiful in his time. you know, the strength, not just, and I think grace and strength. You see some people that go through things, you know, they lose a child or something like that, and you kind of, you know, you go to the funeral, and it's ironic because half the time they're the person that's comforting everyone else. I think you've probably, if you've been to very many funerals, you've seen that, you know. They're doing pretty good, and everybody else is just bawling. And it's like, how can they do that? What is it? I think it's the grace of God that gives them the strength to go through with that, with those things. The grace of God many times cannot be experienced unless we need it. Well, I just wish I had grace for tomorrow. You know, God doesn't give you grace for tomorrow. You don't have a grace bank or a grace gas tank that you fill up on God's grace and God's strength and, you know, for tomorrow. Well, I don't think I could ever do that. Well, that's because God hasn't ever asked you to do that. Because if God asks you to do it, he's going to give you the grace to do it. He'll make it beautiful in his time. Well, I want it today. No, that's not how it works. We don't get it today. We get it when it's necessary for us to have it. The Apostle Paul, God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Many times we don't realize the power. We don't realize the power of prayer until we need the power of prayer. I want you to think about that. Because many times we pray, and I'm guilty of this, we pray very casual, very robotic prayers. We do it every day. You know, you pray in the morning or you pray for your meal, and you basically, and I'm guilty of this, we say the same thing over and over. But you know when you really need something is when you really pray about something. When it's really important to you. You know what fasting is? Fasting is simply you wanting something from God so much that you're willing to give up the physical in order to obtain the spiritual. I believe that. Oh, Richard, what is fasting? I'm giving up what my flesh wants in order so that my spirit can communicate better with God. Now we're not gonna do a whole teaching on that, but what are you doing? You're weakening your flesh. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. When the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Why can't we cast out these devils?" And Jesus said, "This kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting." Prayer and fasting. All right? And if you look at the life of Jesus, what did Jesus do before he went into a time of temptation? When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, what did he do? He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. What was he doing? He was weakening his flesh so that his spirit could be stronger. That's a foreign concept to Americans. It just is. We don't weaken our flesh for anything. If we want a cheeseburger, we go to McDonald's and buy a cheeseburger. All right. If we want to watch something on TV, we just watch it on TV. And it's even worse because now everybody carries a TV in their pocket. All right. They do. If they want to watch something, and it's becoming an epidemic in our nation, because nobody can tell themselves no. So they've made it even more accessible to them. They just pull it out and they can listen to whatever they want. You know, if their flesh wants to listen to the wrong kind of music, it's in their pocket. All right? But what does God say? I can work better through you if you're weaker physically. Why is God sending me through this physical trial? I remember when I was in high school, I was playing football out here where the Neals live. We was playing in your guys' field out there, and we was playing football. And I had caught the ball, and I'm running. And I'm not super fast, but I was fairly fast in high school. I get really winded now. It's like I run 50 yards, and I'm about to die. But I could actually run in high school. So I was running, and I heard this pop. And I had this excruciating pain up my side. And I couldn't. I just collapsed on the ground. Nobody hit me. Nobody tackled me. We were, you know, it was old school where, you know, we was playing tackle football without, you know, any equipment whatsoever at all. You know, we had a football. That's all we had. So you know, so that's the way we was playing. Nobody hit me and didn't know what happened. So they took me to the emergency room, and I couldn't stand, couldn't move. They put me on a stretcher thing, and the doctor said that I had been running, and my muscles, because I was running, contracted so hard it pulled my pelvis apart, on my pelvis. Well, okay, I'm 16, so I don't remember how old I was. I'm 17 years old. In, you know, what should be the prime of your youth, you're working, you're, you know, I had a job, I was doing all this stuff, and you're laid in bed for 6 weeks, and you're like, why? There is no reason that this should have happened to me. And at some point, you know, you become angry at God for things. Now, that's a very simple, very silly illustration for what some of you have gone through in life, you know. But sometimes you just, why, you know, I wasn't doing anything wrong. I wasn't sinning, all right? It wasn't because I had, you know, abused my body. It just happened. And if you're not careful, but you know what? God taught me some valuable spiritual lessons that I never would have stopped long enough to learn if I wouldn't have been laying on my back. And, you know, I look back now, and I'm thankful that God did that, okay? And, you know, Richard, why did God do that to you when you was in high school? I don't know. Maybe it's because God perhaps knew that if I would have had my physical ability, there was a sin I could have gotten into during those 6 weeks. But because I couldn't even get out of bed, he saved me from something I never even saw. I don't know. But at some point, you have to understand that God, you can make everything beautiful in your time. In your time. We can't experience the grace of God unless we need the grace of God. Many times we don't experience the strength of God until we need the strength of God. I think of Christ dying on the cross. Christ dying on the cross. You know, that was an ugly scene. That wasn't a pretty thing. Well, how can the death of the perfect Son of God be a beautiful thing? Well, I'm thankful he died, because I enjoy the beauty of salvation. It was an ugly thing, all right? Go to Luke chapter number 13. Luke chapter number 13. I was thinking on my bus route this morning, I was kind of thinking about my Sunday school lesson. I thought, you know, why did Jesus have to go through all that? You know, and I understand the principle of the atonement and everything and the death, and I understand that. But, you know, in some ways, he also, the Bible says he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And every one of us has to face that time of death. So unless Jesus had to face death, we couldn't say that he was in all points tempted like we are. All right, he had to face the same thing. He had to face the same thing you did, or we do, in a much worse way. But Luke chapter 13, that was kind of a side thought. Luke chapter 13, look at verse number 32. Let's look at verse 31 just because I like it. All right. Verse 31, the same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox. I like that. I just thought that was funny. Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be, what's that word? Perfected. Perfected. Wait a second. I thought, you know, How can that be a perfect thing? The death? Well, it wasn't about the death. It was about, in God's time, it was going to be perfect. He was going to be perfected in 3 days. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about his resurrection. Go to John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. Even the death of Christ was beautiful in his time. John chapter 16, look at verse number 5. Why was it beautiful? Because if Jesus Christ wouldn't have died, we wouldn't have the Holy Spirit with us. And the Bible tells us that. John chapter 16, verse 5. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Isn't that the way we are so many times? Sorrow has filled our heart because we're losing someone. And it does. That's part of the process. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. It's expedient sometimes. What does that mean? It's beautiful in his time. I don't understand. You know, I think the disciples probably, you know, many of them are standing there, God, why? You know, this is our Messiah. And he's dying on a cross like a common thief. Everything is beautiful in his time. Everything's beautiful in his time. All right. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and then we're going to go to Hebrews, and that'll be the last place we'll go this morning. Matthew chapter 26. This is a good attitude right here. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Bible says, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And that's probably the prayer of most of us. When we face a trial in life, this is what we ask God to do. God, I don't... Mrs. Jessica Ross sings a song, and I'm going to butcher the words because I really don't know the words. I just know the thought there. But it's something about, don't take this mountain from me, but give me the strength to climb. You know, and that's very true. But many times we say, God, you know, I don't want the mountain, right? But God says, no, you have to have the mountain. And Jesus here is facing a mountain. And in some ways he says, God, can you take this mountain from me? All right? But then the last phrase there, he says, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. God, it's your choice. It's your decision. I'm trusting you that you know what you're doing. And we're going to go to Hebrews. This is the last place. Right now we're talking about the death of Christ, how it was beautiful in God's time. Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8, Bible says, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Why did Jesus have to die? So that he tasted death for all of us, and he paid the penalty for all of us. You know, God made that what the disciples, I'm sure, on the day of the crucifixion didn't understand. But God made it all beautiful in his time. In his time. Flip over a page, chapter 5, verse 9. Talks about Jesus, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Being made perfect. All right? Many times, folks, listen, Birchhead, you know, everybody has their own situation. Remember what I said at the beginning? Everybody thinks that their situation is the worst situation. It's not. I hate to say it. But it's not. But many times, well, God, it's fair for you to do that to everyone else, but it's not fair for you to do that to me. I've taught this thought before about the sacrifice before the sacrifice, and about how you have to give God, if you give God everything and everything is God's, then when God takes it from you, he's not really taking it from you. It's because it's his anyway. Okay? And the thought, you know, my health. God could take my health. I mean, I'm fairly healthy. The only time I ever go to the doctor is for a CDL physical. The only time I ever go. And I'm thankful for that. Okay? But God could take my health tomorrow. Absolutely could take my health tomorrow. And you know what? He would be just in doing that. He doesn't owe me health. All right? Now, is it easy to get bitter at God if that was to happen? You know, my wife, I got a wonderful wife. God could take her tomorrow. But he would be just and right in doing that. Would I understand it? Probably not. But if she belongs to him anyway, then it's not my job to judge God. Because remember, God's grace. You say, well, how could somebody go through that? I mean, you know, you got three kids, one on the way, obviously you heard this morning. How could that happen? Well, I don't know. But if that would ever happen, God's grace would be there for that. Okay? He would make it beautiful in his time. Brother Chad, do you understand everything? No. And every one of you are going to go through things that you do not understand. And God's time may not even be in your lifetime. Joseph didn't understand. Joseph didn't understand why he had to go through everything he did until he's standing there as second in authority in Egypt and he sees his family come to him for bread. And he said, I see now that God made everything beautiful in his time. In his time. Just trust God. Just trust God. And like I said, easier said than done. Easier said than done. But let's all work on that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. God, you've been good to me. But God, I pray that in every situation of life, that I would trust you, that your grace is sufficient, that you have made everything beautiful in your time, whether it be a time of birth or a time of death, time of war, time of peace, whatever it is, God, that you will make it beautiful in your time. Help me to trust you with that. And help me to know that your way is perfect, even though sometimes we don't understand it. God, I pray that you'd help the morning service. Thank you for all those that have been here this morning. I pray that you'd bless them and help them in Jesus' name.